Okay. Mike Michalowicz, thank you so much for doing this today. I really do appreciate it. We're going to dig into a lot of questions that I've prepared and the audience have prepared. Before we do probably get started, I've got a little intro, but to tease you on the intro, I want to personally thank you for helping me not have to buy a cow.
That's a great cliffhanger, Mark.
Here we go.
Fully engaged.
Here's the intro.
This is a freestyle. I'm going off the dome.
Ready for my close-up, good looking. Let me tell you, get more bookings.
Oh, that'd be nice, giving me tips, tools and advice. Yeah, you're gonna get them, hon. You're gonna sit back, listen to Mark Simpson. Whoa, having a blast. Gonna get it on the Bruce Lee podcast. Bruce Lee like Bruce Lee, cause it's so hard and the tea is loose leaf. Making up those rhymes, don't write it, just do it loosely. If you want my respect, you're better put direct. Here are the words in the podcast, that's what comes next.
All right, that was my get different.
I love that.
That was my
I love it.
So the gentleman rapping, he's a guy called Chris Turner. You do got to check him out on YouTube. He is a very upper class British white guy, but he turns up at events and he does freestyle raps. I discovered him on YouTube in the lockdown. He had a Cameo account. I set up a Cameo, started chatting to him, and he very gracious did a couple of introductions, a little raps for me. So that was one of them. That's the podcast. That's my get different. That's my.
Oh my gosh. Is that radical? I've never seen someone do that before. And it was fun and engaging. I love the Bruce Lee with the tea leaves. That was cool.
Yeah. I'm glad you could see that because I didn't know. I don't know if you can see it or hear it, but the animator, a guy called Ollie Hodgkiss, got to shout him out. He's a very talented animator. But we can dig into that all day. But I really want to celebrate you and just have a chat about you. Personally, thank you very much. So before we start, I wanted to give you a little test. Could you just please list off the books that you have authored and created? Because there are a lot. You're a prolific author, sir. If you could just list them off for the audience, that'd be amazing.
So I'll try to get them in order. So the toilet paper entrepreneur was my first, written for early stage entrepreneurs. Second was the pumpkin plan. Then I wrote Profit First, self-published edition. Which then became a mainstream edition. Surge, Profit First Revised and Expanded. Clockwork about business efficiency. Fix This Next about pinpoint what you need to do. Then Get Different. My most recent book is My Money Bunnies. My first children's book. And I'm just about to start writing my next book, which is about employee engagement. So that's my list.
And we've got the Clockwork Revisited in June this year. Is that about right?
That's right. Clockwork Revised Expanded. Yeah. Good job. That's coming out this June or July.
Amazing. No, again, prolific author. My personal journey began with you, with Blinkist. I don't know if you're aware of Blinkist.
I know of them. How are you basically connected with them?
Blinkist... They turn all the books into little 15-minute journeys, and I'm so I'm on Blinkist. I'm just, you know, checking out these 15-minute books, and then Profit First came on, and I dug it. And basically, my journey is if I really like the 15-minute Blinkist version, then I'll go and check out the author, and I'll go disappear down the YouTube. And you know, you can pretty much find every single interview you've done by just googling your last name.
I'm the only one with this last name.
So from there, Profit First, and then led on to Clockwork, and I really resonated Clockwork with myself so much that I signed up with Adrienne in the Accelerator program back in December. And yeah, I've literally just this week been working on the Queen Bee role.
Good.
So I feel like I'm getting it. I'm not going to reveal it personally and publicly just yet because my team this week, my goal for the team is to also see what it is. And we're going to do a big little meeting on Monday and then we're going to come together. I think I know what it is, but I want to see what theirs is. So it's super exciting.
I'm so impressed you pinpointed it. You know, one of the major revisions in the new version of Clockwork was finding the queen bee role, making it simpler, right? Because it is the most critical. It's the heart of your business. So the question is, how do you pinpoint it? Because if you're serving that queen bee role, your business will flourish, but if you, and sustain. If you ignore it, you've immediately compromised your business. And I think most business owners don't know what that critical role is in their business, and therefore they hit it haphazardly. So I'm thrilled that you found yours. That's good.
Well, thank you very much. So what I think for me personally, and then I dug into Get Different, and I love Get Different, and I've even, there's a little a course coming up, a little tweak of course, a beta course coming up that Justin sent out, and I've signed up for that. So I'm really excited. I mean, for me personally, my journey with you has started off with profits and finances, moved into time management, and then now it's marketing. Those are like the sort of the ways that I've gone. And that's where I'd love this podcast interview to go, if you don't mind. So we're going to take one sort of question around finance, one question about time management, one around marketing, and then we'll go from there. Okay, so let's begin. So finance question. So let's quickly, I start at the very start of this interview, I thanked you for not making me have to buy a cow. And the reason why, because of that, is in Profit First, and then I've watched a lot of your YouTube videos, you explained a lovely story back where your children, teenagers, were just delving into the Cheerios and the Cheerios analogy. Yeah. And so basically mine is that my kids love drinking milk. And every morning, every afternoon, every dad, I want milk. I've got three boys. I've got a 3-year-old, 6-year-old, and a 9-year-old. And I kept thinking back to your Cheerios analogy. And basically, I used to give them a big cup every single time, buying so much milk. I literally got to the point where I turned to my wife saying, we're going to have to buy a cow, put a cow at the back. But then I discovered those little espresso cups, And you know what? Put the espresso milk in the espresso cups. They were fine. So how could we please relate all of that, the Cheerios, the milk, and how can we relate business owners to working with smaller bowls and how business owners, when it comes to finance, please?
So it is all based upon a theorem defined by Parkinson, this guy named Northcote Parkinson. So the theorem is called Parkinson's Law. And what he proposed, this is back in the 1950s, that's human nature to expand our consumption to meet the availability of a resource. So the more milk you serve your children is natural for them to expand their consumption, to drink it all. And especially here in the States, you see all the time that soda bottles that used to be 8 ounces and became 12 and 16, now they make these things that are like a missile or something. They're so big, and our consumption and our waistlines are expanding. But there's something interesting that Parkinson also pointed out. He said, as the availability of a resource decreases, we're forced to consume less because there's less available, but also we become innovative. So the example I like to use is, if you have a brand new tube of toothpaste, watch how quickly you consume it. You use long beads and so forth. If some falls off your toothbrush into the sink, who cares? I have a brand new tube of toothpaste. But when it's that gnarled up prune-like tube of toothpaste, now one droplet on one bristle hair seems to be adequate. The proof is that a new tube lasts maybe a month. An empty tube of toothpaste can last upwards of a month. Our behavior shifts to resource. This is true for what you do with your kids. You give them that espresso shot, they consume less. And likely achieve the same level of satisfaction. Their behavior probably shifts. Maybe they sip a little bit more. Maybe now it's perceived as a treat as opposed to mass consumption. But the ultimate consumption is depleted tremendously, and the value they derive is likely the same or similar, or maybe even better. Maybe they even value it more. Well, I found with money, this Parkinson's principle also applies. What happens is, for most businesses, we have that one large cup of milk. Everything goes into that one checking account. All the bills get paid from it. And just like our children, we drink it all up. What I propose in Profit First is at your bank, and it's important to do at your bank, because if you log into your bank account, that's the refrigerator you're walking to. That's where you're naturally going. People say to me, oh, I can do this on a spreadsheet, or I can do it in my accounting system. No, you can't. I realize you can put numbers there, but if that is not intercepting your natural path, if that's not your refrigerator, you're not going to see this. So we set these accounts at the bank, so every time you log in to see your balance, there's multiple cups there. Now, money comes into that one account, and we carve it up. We have all those little espresso cups there. One is for profitability. So money comes in, a portion goes to profit. Another may be to pay the owner their salary for the work they do, which is different than profit. Profit is a reward for owning a business. The owner's pay is a form of compensation. Taxes, OPEX. By carving the money up into these different accounts, before you spend a penny, you know what's available to what degree in those accounts. So that's how this system works.
Now, thank you very much. And again, if you want to check out more about that in more detail, please do go check out the Profit First book. I feel like a lot of people by now, and I speak to a lot of hospitality owners, and when I said that you were coming on the podcast, they were the one that they said to me first, Profit First, definitely one that's helped them get the balance, get the business off the ground, which is amazing. And it's definitely helped me personally and so many others. The second one was Clockwork. So yeah. Clockwork, and as mentioned, I've been going through the QBR role training this week, and you've hinted that in the revised version it's going to be updated slightly. So the question that I have, number one, busy hospitality owner, busy Airbnb host, busy short-term rental owner, how could they best find potentially what their QBR role is within it, and also as well, what are the slight little tweaks that you've made for book one to the revised version that's coming out this year?
Please. Sure. So it all starts off with what do you want to be known for? What do you stake your reputation in? I gave it a new verbiage. I call it the big promise. Of all the commitments we make to our prospects and clients, what's the biggest? I call it the big promise you make. And as an Airbnb host, you get to choose this. You may say, I promise the most extraordinary views, or I promise the most hospitality if you're to meet with them, or I promise the cleanest room. Whatever it is, we have to pick the number one thing. I'm not saying those other things aren't important, but only one thing can be the most recognizable thing about you. That's the definition of most. Once you identify your big promise, the next step is, of all the activities you do, what one activity most supports that big promise? That's the tweak I made from the old book. The old book, I said, list out all the things, and we're going to kind of refine this. Now it's a quicker step-by-step. What do you want to be known for? Of all the things you do, what most delivers on that? So back to examples of Airbnb host, the most magnificent views. Well, maybe you have a location that has great views, but it's seeing those views that matters the most. So now it's the deck facility is actually the most important part of your building, because that's where people are going to see these views. And making sure it's accessible and presentable and encourages people to see those views is the most important thing. Everything else matters, but nothing matters to the degree of that deck. So you can have a spotless refrigerator, beautiful linens, and people won't necessarily value that much because you're known for your views. But if that deck is messy and unapproachable, it's going to crush your reputation. Now, here's the funny thing, it's the reverse. If you make an extraordinary deck experience and the linens are a little bit ragged, the refrigerator isn't perfectly clean, people may notice that, but you will win because your reputation is being delivered on. The goal here with the QBR and the big promise is once you decide what to stake your reputation on, make sure you're serving the number one role, the QBR, that serves that. If you do that and everything else is okay, but in the ballpark, you'll do absolutely fine, probably more than fine. If instead you do marginal at the QBR and marginal at everything else, that will crush your reputation because you're not consistently delivering on that big promise. And if you blow off the QBR, but you crush in the other areas, it still will crush you because you're not serving on what you're staking your reputation on. The summary is, pick your reputation, the big promise, then pick the one activity of all those activities that most delivers on it, and never allow that to go unabated.
Mm. And this is for everybody that's tuning in, whether it's live or on the replay, I would love for hosts, especially that know their QBR, to put it below, because what I love about this is that we all, the Team Boostly community, we come together, and I feel like there's somebody watching this, and it took me so long to get it for me. And what really helped me was when we're doing the accelerator, part of the training was that we looked at other companies and from the outside in, we did their QBR and like the big brands and stuff. And that really helps. Mm-hmm. So there's somebody who's in here.
That's a smart approach.
Pop it. Yeah, it was really cool. It really helped me. And then again, I feel like once you figure that out, it is so important because it just makes your life so much easier when you've got that. So that's the Clockwork book. So there's another book to go pick up, available on all your good bookstores. Now, the final one, the one that's really affected me, is marketing. Now, this one has been going through my head so much at the moment with Get Different. And you've got the book behind your right shoulder.
It's
very nice. So we're going to go to the dad. Differentiate, attract, direct.
Yes.
So tips for a hospitality owner to follow the dad to market different. And again, if you could just break it down very quickly, I know we'll push for time, but yeah, break it down and how they can use that and put that into attracting guests to book with them, ideally directly, because that's what this whole podcast is about. Not through Airbnb. How can you get a guest to book?
Yeah, in Atlanta, that's where the money is.
That's it, yeah.
So what I did was I evaluated what makes marketing effective and what doesn't. And I found that this framework, DAD, is the essence of effective marketing. If you can check off all three of these elements, the D, the A, the D, your marketing is most likely to be successful. Not guaranteed, most likely. If you miss even one element, now the marketing is crippled and it's likely going to flounder. And often when we're floundering, what most businesses revert to is they double down on it. You know, my Facebook ads aren't working, so I'm going to pay more and pay more. And we get frustrated and we start burning cash. So here's what the three elements are. The first D stands for differentiate. The only way to get noticed is if you are breaking out of the white noise, that repeating sound everyone hears. And if you receive junk mail at your home, you already know this. All those pieces of mail you get that even before you return to your home from your mailbox are going in the recycle bin, those things are common white noise. Our minds are very attuned to irrelevant. And if it's been irrelevant in the past, it's going to be irrelevant in the future. The first time I received a Hey Friend email, I'll never forget it. I was like, oh my gosh, I've never received this. Who's this friend who calls me friend? They don't even use my first name. I love them. And I started to read it. I'm like, oh, this is irrelevant marketing. I think I've received hundreds, probably perhaps thousands of Hey Friend emails since. I've deleted them all. It doesn't work. Our minds become habituated, meaning attuned to what's irrelevant and ignores it. So to be different, don't do what your industry does. That's the key lesson here. If there is a common practice, often called the best practice, that's the practice actually to avoid because customers are attuned to that. Break and disrupt the pattern. So instead of sending a Hey Friend email, maybe you send an email with a big picture of you waving and holding the person's name saying, this is really for you. Or something, it may just be enough to disrupt the pattern, unless they've experienced that before to no benefit. The differentiate is the first step. And what it does is it garners attention. And we've all experienced this. If you ever walk down the street and you've done one of those double takes, like, what was that? That actually is your mind engaging in something different. When something different presents itself, how the human mind is wired is we must pay attention to it. But there's two other elements. A stands for attract. What this means is, once you garner attention, you must keep people engaged by speaking to their needs, speaking to their interests, entertaining them, educating them. There has to be a justifiable reason for them to stay engaged and spend those brain calories checking out what you got going on. In fact, hopefully it's happening right now as I'm presenting to you. Hopefully I'm delivering enough value and maybe there's enough energy in my presentation that you're staying engaged. That is something that happens in these segments that every moment your mind is calculating, should I stay involved with this consideration or am I going to drift off and do something else? In our marketing, we have to keep people engaged. And the way to do this is speak to their need, speak to their challenges, entertain, educate, but speak their language. Validate that they're significant and you get them throughout. But even that's not enough. Once you attract, we have to direct. That's the last D in the STAD model. Direct is tell them what to do with this. And we want to move through this efficiently. You don't keep on trying to attract. Like I could present to you for 10 straight hours. There's a certain point of like, this is enough. So I have to move efficiently, continue to deliver value, and then get to the transaction. Now, here's the key about the transaction, the direct. It's not going for the final close necessarily. It's not about being obtuse and unclear. It's about giving a very safe and specific direction. So in direct, tell something or invite them to do something. There's an exchange, but they derive value from it. But it's not so big that it overwhelms them. So just two quick examples. An obtuse, unclear example would be, you visit my website, it engages you, and then the call to action button says learn more. That's a total mistake. The whole reason you went to my website was to learn more, and I'm keeping you going in this circle. The other extreme, maybe you land my website and I do some coaching and it says, you know, put down a $10,000 deposit and we'll have a conversation. You're like, who is this guy? It's too big an ask. The appropriate ask may be, give me your email and cell number so I can contact you and I will do a true 30-minute consultation on your business. Maybe you'll walk away with the success you need and we want to talk again. Maybe that transaction is enough value. You're giving me something of value, permission to contact you, and I hope I'm giving you value in exchange. That's what a direct is. Always have a singular, not multiple, don't confuse, give a singular, reasonable, safe direction for people to take. That's the DAD model.
I like it. And again, that's the Get Different book. And again, that's just free of many that we listed off. So thank you very much for that. So you very quickly, at the very start, you said there's another book in the making. So you've done the finance, you've done the time management, the marketing. Can you just very quickly, before we go into the last segment, is just what's that book you're planning? What are you thinking of creating next?
Yeah, I'm really excited about this. So I listen to my audience readers. I'm very, very fortunate. I have a lot of people engaging with me and giving me their insights. And I ask, what's the challenge you're facing now? The number one challenge I'm hearing, and maybe this was partly invoked by COVID, is I can't hire employees. I can't find employees. I can't find qualified employees. And the other thing is they're not acting like owners. And the wish is, I wish my employees would act like owners. So I said, okay, how do you get employees to act like owners? Well, I did start this analysis about 5 years ago, but 2 years ago when COVID struck, I went double down on this. I'm an owner and an equity owner in six different businesses. So we started testing out these models. And in the last year and a half, we've worked with about 300 businesses deploying what I believe is a solution. I give you a teaser, and you can Google it if you want. There's a concept called psychological ownership. There is a switch that happens in the human mind where we go from responsibility to ownership, and those are radically different. Most employees are given responsibility. Here's what you need to do. It's like leasing a car, renting a car. You must return it with a full tank, no scratches or dents. But what do we do when we take it out on the road? We munch down that gas pedal. We try to hit the corner super hard to see if I can get a Sienna Caravan to spin out. But when I own it, my behavior now, I'm patting on the dashboard. Good job, baby. This is the best car ever. Now, the thing is, I might not even actually own it. The bank may own the rights, but I have what's called psychological ownership. There's a very simple way to invoke psychological ownership and move people from responsibility, where they're just employees, to psychological owners, where they're acting like you, the owner. And that's what we'll be teaching in this book.
And then that's amazing, without having to give them all the equity. So.
And ironically, here's the best part. But here's a cool part. Giving equity actually may diminish psychological ownership. Mm. If you can get your employees saying, this is my company, without any equity, that's the definition of psychological ownership. They're demonstrating they're doing it, and their performance in general will skyrocket.
Any idea on launch day? I know they say never tell everybody your launch day, but is it this year, next year? What are we thinking?
No, it's definitely not this year. It's definitely not 2020. It could be 2023. It's likely in the fall of 2023. Mm. It may be early 2024.
Amazing. Well, already looking forward to that. Thank you. So let's finish with the last sort of 8 minutes with more about Mike. This is a little thing that, again, you can Google your surname and you can pretty much find every interview, every podcast, everything you've done. But there's a couple of things that I have dug into and I haven't yet been able to find out. So I wanted to just do this more for me, but it might also as well be beneficial to other people. So the first thing, first question is, do you have a quirk or something that other people think is just pure crazy or mental, but you love? For example, mine is when I'm at the supermarket, I'm in the checkout queue. I love reading those gossip magazines. You know,
I love this.
Yeah, so that's my little. My wife thinks I'm crazy. I love it. You know, I just have a little read, check, get on my celebrity gossip. Is there something that you've got?
That's awesome.
So is that something
that you'll pick one up? Like Tom Cruise is an alien. I always knew this.
That is.
So I do like doing that. I guess one of my quirks, actually no one knows this, and I do it every day. I wear runner socks. I'm actually wearing now. You can't see because they're under my jeans. If I can get on the camera. But I wear runner socks. I'm standing right now, and I generally stand all the time for work. I found these compression runner socks actually gives me more energy. So I've been wearing them every single day for the last 3 years, 4 years.
That's cool. I stand up as well, and I'm always barefoot. And I got to a point where I was having, I Googled and found on Amazon a little mat you can stand on that tries and gives you.
Oh, I want to check this out, bro. So I see my camera kind of rotates.
See if it can get down there.
There's my mat. See, there's the mat I'm standing on.
There you are. I couldn't get on with it. I couldn't get on with it. It got really dirty, and because I'm barefooted a lot of the time. So, but very cool. Okay, right. Next, let's bring it back to travel a little bit. You're obviously a big fan of a 4-week vacation. If anybody's read The Clockwork Book, you'll know that. Where is your go-to destination, the go-to place to travel?
So there's this island. So I live in New Jersey. There's an island called Long Beach Island. And to me, there's a sudden shift. You go over this little bridge they call the Causeway Bridge. You go over it, and you leave the mainland, United States, New Jersey, onto this little island. And there's a transformation. In fact, it's a little bit of a quirk. My wife and I will play Jimmy Buffett's song called Volcano. We've been doing this as a tradition ever since we brought our kids. I've been going 50 years straight. It's such a tradition now that my kids, when they go visit with friends, they won't cross the bridge unless Volcano's playing. I will tell you, you go to this, there is nothing there that like, oh, this is the most beautiful place on the planet. It's overcrowded. It isn't the Jersey Shore that disgusting atrocity on TV. But there's something about the transformation in my own emotion when I get on the island. So that's why it's my favorite place to go.
Thank you for that. Okay, so this channel, this whole Boostly is all about helping hosts book get more direct bookings. My little elevator pitch is I help hosts get the tools, the tactics, the training, and the confidence to increase your direct bookings and cut down on your reliance on Airbnb, Booking.com, Vrbo. So my question to you, Mr. Mike McCallowitz, is when was the last time you booked directly with a property, or are you a Airbnb booker?
Airbnb is the convenience, but I directly book sometimes when I travel. I do those home exchanges, so I don't know if that's 100% there. But I will tell you the things that intrigue me to indirectly book is when I find something in a target area. Like I'm looking to go to Scotland or something, and when I visit, I have a very specific community I'm going to, and then I'll start looking there. And if one is unique, if it just presents itself as another flat to visit, not interested. But the second it says, like, there's a brick in the wall that a former lord touched, oh my God, I am so immersed in the story, I got to see it. I think the opportunity we have in direct booking is to show the intimate detail, the oddities and the uniquenesses, and get people to immerse in that story. That becomes really palatable to me.
Use the dad effect.
Use the dad effect. It works on me. I know what's going on, and it works. Oh my God.
This is why I love bringing people into the podcast from outside the world of hospitality, because we talk about that, and it's like, this is like the roadmap that we're being shown right now on what to do. So it's really exciting. So thank you for that. And I guess the last question is, obviously, prolific author, you read lots of books. You can tell that just by reading and listening to the audible of all the other books that you mentioned. But what was the last book that you gifted for somebody, and why was that? That wasn't your own.
Yeah. Probably, I think the last one I gifted was The Self-Reliant Entrepreneur. It's a book by a guy named John Jantz. And it's what's interesting is, here's a guy, he's an authority in the marketing space. He wrote a book about just the mental welfare of entrepreneurs and how to, on a daily basis, consider the greater good you're doing. And it's a really profound book. It's not necessarily wildly popular, but I think it's wildly impactful. So I've gifted that a few times now. And that's probably the most recent book I gifted to someone.
Mr. Mike McCallowitz, really appreciate your time. I just want to say that I put my first book together last year. I released it February of this year.
Nice.
It's called The Book Direct Playbook. And in January, I did the audio recording. It's the hardest thing I've ever done. And in preparation, I listened to Get Different. I listened to Clockwork. And I am so impressed at how you do it, because it is so hard. You go into it thinking, oh, this will be easy. I just read and talk. That's all I got to do.
But when
you get into it, you're so paranoid of your breath and the noises your tummy makes.
Right, enunciation.
Oh, yeah. Oh, and the amount of noises that my stomach makes is ridiculous. So
we heard your stomach noise. Gotta redo that line.
Yeah. And I love the interview that you did with the editor on the last book, because it gave me, it was really good, because all the things that you were saying about how many times you had to redo things and stuff. So I just want to say, I have massive respect for anybody who narrates their own book. So thank you so much for everything. I really appreciate your time today. I know we've only had a short amount of time, but it's been, for me, bucket list ticked. Thank you so much. And I hope everybody else has enjoyed it. Okay, I will let you go. Thank you so much. Take care. And thank you to everybody who's tuned into the podcast. I wish you all have an amazing day. Be proactive. Don't be reactive. And let's go and get some direct bookings.